In our reading today, we're looking at two brothers, the sons of Zebedee, James and John. The setting is Jesus has just told them that they're going up to Jerusalem. And this is what takes place. As I read this, think about what kind of people are these two brothers, the sons of Zebedee, James and John. What kind of character is reflected here? James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one on your left in your glory." And Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the other 10 disciples heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them all to him and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. The Bible tells us that actually there was a large group of people who followed Jesus. We have a very brief mention of 500. We have Jesus on one occasion sending out 70 on a mission. We know that there were women who supported Jesus' ministry and were dedicated followers, and he was close friends with some of them. But there were also 12 representing the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 disciples that he called to be close by him. And we've been looking at those disciples. They represent a great variety of people, actually, at different stages in life, too. Last week, we looked at the first apostle, who was Andrew. And today we look at those other two brothers, James and John. What kind of people were James and John? Jesus called them sons of thunder. What were they like and what became of them? I think they were sons of thunder, and here I'm just focusing on one incident. We also know that they had a bit of a temper, but we're focusing on their ambition today. They were the kind of people who would sort of elbow you out of the way to get in line before you. You know people like that. They have to be there first. They have to be top dog. And on one occasion, just as they were all about to go up to Jerusalem, they came up to Jesus and said, "We'd like a favor. we'd like you to do whatever we ask of you. Now, those of you who have been parents, I'm sure have had kids come and pull the same act. We want you to do whatever we ask of you. And that's when you become very wary. And Jesus was very wary too. He said, "What is it that you would like me to do for you?" And they said, "We want to sit one on the right and one on the left side of you when you come into your kingdom." What they're asking for here is the highest offices they can imagine. We want to be Secretary of State and Prime Minister in your kingdom. Talk about chutzpah. Talk about ambition. They wanted to be right up there, number one. There's a story I like about a man who had great ambition. He wanted to become a general. And he sort of liked the idea of people saluting him, having an aide who would answer to him, and a driver who would drive him around in a car. He really wanted to become a general. And sure enough, one day his great dream in life was fulfilled. He became a brigadier general. And he walked into his new office, and there was the nice new desk. And he sat down behind the desk and just, was just full of himself. And his aide came in and said, there's someone here to see you, sir. And so he thought, I'm going to show this guy how important I am. And just before a young soldier came into his office, he picked up the phone, turned and looked out the window, and he said, "Yes, Mr. President, that's right. Yes, I'll say that to the Secretary of State when we meet on Monday. Yes, I'll take care of that. Thank you, Mr. President." And with that, he put down the phone, and he turned to face this young soldier, and he barked, "What do you want?" And the soldier said, "Nothing, sir. I've come to set up your telephone." Ambition. We all need some ambition, don't we? We all need some get up and go to accomplish anything. But it sort of depends. Ambition is sort of ethically neutral. Depends on which direction it's going. Isn't that right? Mother Teresa has ambition, but her ambition is for the sick and the poor and their well-being. Al Capone has ambition. His ambition is to rob a bank. They're quite different depending on which direction ambition goes on. And I was trying to think of an example of ambition that was good. And I know St. Patrick's Day is Tuesday, and a lot of things have been canceled, but it strikes me that St. Patrick's was much more than green beer and leprechauns and snakes. That he's actually a good example of someone who had ambition, and it was for a good thing. Patrick was born and grew up in Roman Britain back in the 400s, roughly. He's in Roman Britain. His parents were nominally Christian. They spoke Latin. He spoke Latin. He wasn't very religious. In fact, as a teenager, he didn't think much about religion at all. He was sort of a wayward kind of teenager. And then at age 16, a crisis developed. He was captured by Celtic pirates. If you can imagine this at 16, captured by Celtic pirates and taken off to Ireland, and there sold into slavery to a Druid chieftain. And for 6 years, he was in captivity as a young man. He served as a shepherd to his owner. He was out in the fields. During this time, his faith, which had been dormant up to this point, started to develop, and he also gained some insight into the language of the people, to their customs in Ireland. And after 6 years of slavery, he managed to escape and eventually came back to Britain. And there, by that time, he wanted to go into the ministry. He trained for the ministry, became a priest, and served the church in England for a number of years. And then at age 48, and a lot of people didn't live that long back in those days, but at age 48, he had the sense that the people of Ireland were calling him to come back and live among them. And it's sort of parallel. Remember, St. Paul wanted to go into Turkey and he couldn't. And at that point, he saw the Macedonian calling him over to northern Greece to help them there. Sort of a parallel kind of thing. And this is where the ambition comes in. Patrick decided that he must go back. And he wasn't going back. This wasn't sort of a self-serving kind of thing, self-centered kind of thing like we find with James and John. You know, we're going to be top dogs in the kingdom. But this was going back to serve the Irish people, to bring the gospel. And he was not taking up an easy challenge, because he was an escaped slave. And you know what happens to an escaped slave if they're caught. Plus, I think there were something like 18 tribes in Ireland at the time, and they were all just fighting with one another. It was a very violent kind of situation he'd be going back into. Plus, people in England were not all that supportive of his work in Ireland. But he went, he led a group of missionaries to go back. He served there until he died at age 70, so from 48 to 70, 28 years. He worked in Ireland, established the church there. And he also accomplished something else. He ended slavery in Ireland. And, you know, I think this business about driving out all the snakes, we can discuss, but most of the scholars agree that he was the first person in Ireland to speak out against slavery, and his influence brought it to an end. And his influence also, at least on a relative basis, brought peace to all those fighting tribes. But to just give a sense of what he was facing, this is a quote that we have down through the centuries. He was not taking up an easy task. His ambition was not easy. "Every day, I am ready to be murdered, betrayed, enslaved, whatever may come my way. But I am not afraid of these things because of the promises of heaven. For I have put myself in the hands of God Almighty. He's a brave guy. But his ambition was to serve the people of Ireland. For all the stuff he had been through with them, he really liked them. And again, he knew their customs, he spoke their language, and he was very effective. I'd just like to read his breastplate. This is part of a prayer that he's famous for. I bind myself today, God's power to guide me, God's might to uphold me, God's eye to watch over me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to give me speech. I think Patrick, again, is more than green beer. He made quite a contribution to Irish society and to Western society as well. His ambition was good. Now, something that strikes me about James and John in comparison, you know, they want to be the big guys, the big raccoons. And this comes at a very insensitive point, because Jesus has just told the disciples he's going up to Jerusalem to die there. And the insensitivity of the disciples here is striking. You can imagine the turmoil that's going on in Jesus' heart right now. You know, just the way we would feel. I'm going up to die. And the disciples are no help whatsoever. We'd expect, if we said to someone, I'm having trouble at work or with my family or with my health, we'd expect people to have some sympathy or some empathy with us, at least to listen to us. But James and John are off on another thing. It's me, and what do I get out of this? Do I get a big office? Now, there's an old Irish saying, and that saying goes like this: give me the hindsight to know where I've come from. Give me the foresight to know where I'm going. But give me the insight to know when I've gone too far. And I think James and John, you know, they love Jesus, but that self-centeredness, that me first kind of thing is still there. I suppose it's with us all in one form or another. But they come to realize, you know, that maybe they've come too far. And Jesus says to them, you know, he who would be great must be servant to all. He who would be first must be slave to all. For the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for all. Strong stuff. James and John did change. It's interesting, if you read the Gospels carefully, you have the 12, but there's also an inner core of the 12. When important things happen in Jesus' life, there are three people present at those turning points, at those significant points. Peter, James, and John. They were the closest ones of the 12 to Jesus. And there's that very powerful scene, if you remember it, at the cross, where Jesus is hanging there and his mother Mary and John are there. And Jesus says, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." He's not talking about himself there. What he is doing is passing on the care of his mother to the disciple John. Jesus thought enough of this man to give his mother's care to him. Now, James, we know from the book of Acts in the New Testament, was killed by Herod. I think Herod the Great's grandson, Herod Antipas. But John went on to an interesting, he lived a full life. He lived into his 90s, amazing in those days. He moved to Ephesus in Turkey, which had a Christian center. And as he became older, so the tradition says, he wasn't able to go to church by himself. And so the church people would come and get him and carry him to church. And at the end of the service, they would say to him, "John, have you any word for us?" And he would always say, "Love one another." And eventually they asked him, "Why do you say this all the time? Love one another." And he said, "Because it is the Lord's command. It is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Nothing else is necessary. Love one another." This guy who started out so full of ambition, so full of himself and his own self-importance, had become an apostle of love. And where love is, God is there too. Amen.